What can I speak on? In fact, all of you could probably come and stand up here and talk about the resurrection and give a word about the message of Easter. I want to tackle it from a different aspect today, and I just hope and trust and pray that what I've got will really speak to you. First point I've got is a quote from Josh McDowell. No matter how devastating our struggles, disappointments and troubles are, they are only temporary. No matter what happens to you, no matter the depth of tragedy or pain you face, no matter how death stalks you and your loved ones, the resurrection promises you a future of immeasurable good. If Jesus raised the dead, healed the sick, gave hope to the hopeless, and himself rose from the dead, then some of those things that we have in our lives, which I'm going to call stones this morning, some of those stones that we have in our lives are nothing to him. They're no problem to him. Jesus knew the path that he would take before his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, before Bethlehem. In fact, at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, the very beginning, before time. In fact, the very beginning of the creation of the world, he knew what his mission would be. If we look through the Easter story, it's a real message of victory, isn't it? A real message of victory. If I went round the room this morning and asked you different aspects of where you think the victory was won, I think they'd all be kind of pretty much correct. There wouldn't be a right or a wrong answer. Some of you may say when he breathed his last and the curtain of the temple tore in two and the stones rolled and there was an earthquake. Some may say the resurrection itself. Have you considered the victory may have been won in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus' personal victory, where he turned round and he said, because obviously if there was no death, there wouldn't have been a resurrection. It was in the garden where reality really kicked in. He really knew what he had to do. He was committed 100% to go to the cross. The surrendering of what he wanted, his will, surrendering to what the Father's will was. He did say, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He was asking, is there another way out? But if there wasn't another way out, then he was prepared to go this path, to go this journey, to go through the suffering that he went through. If he had won the victory at the cross and there was no resurrection, well, he would have been dead like a lot of religious gods. The resurrection was proof, evidence of the victory that he'd won. If we go back to the Old Testament and we look at the life of Abraham and Isaac, get this picture that Abraham was an old man and Isaac perhaps wasn't a toddler. Isaac was, I don't know, maybe a teenager. And I don't think Abraham was particularly strong. It would probably have been physically impossible for Abraham at his age to have picked his son up and laid him on the altar. Unless, of course, his son was willing to be the sacrifice. Which, of course, we know he was. Isaac didn't know at that point that he wouldn't be sacrificed. That actually it wouldn't go through. It wouldn't happen. But he trusted his father. He trusted his father Abraham and he was willing to go through that. Coming back now to the Easter story, Matthew 27. Then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit. At that moment the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and rocks split apart. Tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God." Now, I don't know if any of you Bible scholars have looked at this particular passage. And this is how my mind worked. I was reading it and I thought, these people were raised from the dead and then they left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection. Well, we know how long Jesus was in the tomb and he's dead and he rose again. So what were they doing for all that time? Have you ever wondered? It's interesting. Have you ever wondered? Because they waited until Jesus had resurrected. If you have an answer, come and talk to me afterwards, because I couldn't find a clear answer in the Bible as to what these men, godly men, were doing. But anyway, besides, they went off afterwards anyway, we know that. This man truly was the Son of God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 19, Jesus said, "It is finished. Tetelestai. The debt has been paid in full. Do you know, it's lovely because the soldiers thought they were in control, didn't they? The soldiers thought that they were crucifying Jesus, they were killing Jesus, and they'd won, and they were in control, and that they were responsible for his death. Wrong. They didn't kill Jesus. Jesus surrendered his life because Jesus gave the commandment, "It is finished." He said, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit willingly. But praise God, it doesn't stop there. The next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. This is Matthew 27:62. They went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what the deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than when we were at first." Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. No, they didn't. Yes, they did send guards, yes, but it wasn't protected, was it? Because early on the Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said he would. Come see where his body was laying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Ever since Jesus rose from the dead, ever since Jesus burst out from the grave, having conquered death and hell, Christians together have worshipped around this weekend, this Easter weekend, and celebrated this great, fantastic day. The song suggests was the greatest day in history was the day that Jesus died and rose again. Today we'll celebrate the fact that he's risen from the grave. Today, I trust we're going to see that Jesus is still in the business of removing stones. So what does resurrection mean? I provoked your thoughts to see what you came up with. Hope. Some of these words: rebirth, new life. When you become a Christian, you have a new life. Rebirth. It's like you've been born all over again. Reappearance, coming into existence again. I love the word restoration. You know, I love the image of an old piece of furniture. And I'd look at an old piece of furniture and say, it's scratched, it's got teeth marks in it, whatever. It's got all sorts of marks, scratchings and everything on it. It's just no good. But a person that deals with wood would look at that and say, I can restore that to its former glory. I can restore that to what it should look like. Restoration, returning something, or someone in this case, to its former condition, to repair, to fix, to rebuild. Renewal, an instance of resuming something after an interruption. Well, you can't get more of an interruption than what Jesus had, can you? Really? Renewal, an instance of resuming something after an interruption. Revitalization, the action of imbuing, inspire something, or in this case, someone, with new life and vitality. So these are all words that I looked at just to do with resurrection. And maybe some of those words resound in your thinking. And I want to ask ourselves this morning, do we need a spiritual resurrection in our lives? Is there aspects in our lives where we need a spiritual resurrection? As I said, Jesus is still in the business of rolling away stones. Those stones that would perhaps get in the way of us having a glimpse of him. Those stones that stop us moving forward. Those stones that hold us back. Satan continually tries to bring these stones into our lives that would stop us from moving forward. He doesn't want us to be a dangerous people. He doesn't want us to be an advancing people. He wants to bring these stones, these things in our lives, which will stop us moving closer to God. But Jesus wants these stones to be removed. Amen?
Amen.
So what are some of the stones in your life, and what are some of the stones in my life? I've listed some. There are many, many more. Fear. Fear of what's going to happen. Fear of the unknown. Guilt. Maybe guilt's a big one. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If we think that Jesus can't forgive anything that we've done, his death was in vain. Some of the other stones in our lives, reminders of past failures. Low self-esteem, low opinions of yourself, low self-worth. I'm nothing. I can't do this. Sickness is a stone that needs to be removed from people's lives. Now, sickness, I say that is just something that happens. So this is why we believe in the power of healing, and we want Jesus to heal, to remove those stones. Some of these stones, of course, we haven't put there. These stones have happened. But the message I want to get across this morning, that actually Jesus wants to remove those stones. Sickness, temptations, addictions, perhaps things, another one's just come to me, things that we put before God. Selfishness, maybe, you would call that. Putting things, everything else, and God second in our lives. A big, massive stone, unforgiveness. Jesus warns us very clearly, if you don't forgive. When we come round the Lord's table each week, we're encouraged to not eat or drink in an unworthy manner. We're encouraged to put things right with our brothers and sisters. Unforgiveness is a big one. These are some of the stones that are in our lives, folks, and in my life. Do you know, if ever you were told that the life of a Christian, a disciple, a follower of Jesus would be an easy road, then you were misinformed. It's a fantastic and enjoyable road, but it's not the easy road. But can I say this morning, it wasn't easy for Jesus either. It wasn't easy for Jesus either. John 16:33 says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials, you will have many sorrows, you will have many stones. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. And those stones that get in your life, you might think are too massive, too big. Well, you're right, they're too big probably for us to handle on our own. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need Jesus to remove those stones in our lives. Remember, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Years ago, there was a slogan. And when we're talking about stones of past memories, when we're talking about stones of past failures, I don't know who the quote was by, but it used to say, the next time Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. He's a defeated foe. He's going around like a roaring lion, trying to do everything he can now, because his days are numbered. As I said, these stones may be too big for you to remove by ourselves, and we're going to need help. I believe this morning, for myself and for all of us, that if we're really serious about following God, if we're really serious about drawing closer to God and wanting more of Jesus in our lives, then we've got to be in that place where we're willing to allow him to remove these stones, these blockages in our lives that stop us and prevent us from moving forward. We have to allow him to come in to take away those things so that we can catch a glimpse of him. I said I was going to be short this morning. Well, maybe I didn't, but I knew I was going to be short this morning. I just wanted to tackle the resurrection story from a different aspect and talk about spiritual stones in our lives. So in closing, what are the stones in my life that I need Jesus to remove? What are the stones in your life that you need Jesus to remove? Jesus is willing and more than able to remove these stones if we'll only let him, if we only surrender to him and let him have his way and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. As it was in the garden when he said, not my will, but your will be done. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're in the business of removing stones. Thank you for the big bit of business you did, removing that stone, that you burst forth from the grave, and that you're still moving stones today, and you're still wanting to minister to each and every one of us. You're still wanting to move stones that are in our lives. This morning, I don't need to know what your stones are. You don't want to know what my stones are. But give those stones to the Lord. And say, Lord, I can't move these things on my own. Jesus, will you remove the stones that are in my life that are stopping me moving forward, that are stopping me advancing, catching a glimpse of you?